This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you know you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, unlike the Owls, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So there's only one thing left to say, what's everybody having? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means you'll get some tasty rewards later on. And between you and me, if you order just before kick-off, you can get it just in time for half-time, but I've not told you that. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. See you later.
Wednesday week is sponsored by Michael Constantine Wealth Management. We bet you can't find a financial advisor closer to Hillsborough Stadium.
Hello, good evening and welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Week. My name's Dan Fudge and with me tonight I've got Stevie, Blair, John and Simon. I nearly forgot your name then, my apologies. It's been a long week, And as you can tell now, I've started to get my voice back and the phlegm is getting a bit thicker, which means I'm on the mend, right? That means it's good, right? When the snot goes less watery. That's a thing, isn't it? I don't know. Any road. Last night, Sheffield Wednesday were eventual losers against Plymouth Argyle, leaving us third in the table, missing a chance to leapfrog them in the table. And on Saturday, we also had a game against the Vale, a quite robust Port Vale team. Robbie Williams' big... Well, he was on the radio today talking about Port Vale like he goes every week or something like that, but I don't think he's been in about 30 years. But any road. Simon, I'll come to you first. Port Vale set out their game plan quite, you know, like I said before, quite robust. We did well to break them down, didn't we?
Yeah, it was an interesting game set in a football ground which had an allotment as a football pitch. Mm-hmm. We thought they'd overwatered it at first. We had a lot of rain Friday night. And when the ball was bouncing, something was bouncing up with it, which we thought was water, which then turned out to be Brighton, not even Brighton Beach, because Brighton Beach is all pebbles, isn't it? It was more Cleethorpes Beach. I've not seen a pitch like it. And it played into their hands. It was very difficult to play football. And we ground out a result, which I would say... Last year, we wouldn't have got that result. We probably would have been drawn or even lost that game.
We tend to say that a lot, actually, now. There's definitely been a change in mentality in terms of pushing forward and things like that, John. I mean, you know, do you feel that we've got a bit of a change in attitude, or do you reckon there's just a bit more quality there?
A bit of both, I think, Dan. I think that there is a change in attitude. I think... had more time to sort of work on address some of the weaknesses, both in the close season with the signings and then on the training pitch, and obviously the addition of the players that we've brought in this season have helped us sort of overcome some of those frailties, not all because they're still there as we'll come on to later on, but they we're still struggling a bit with the depth at the back, but when you go to places like Port Vale, it looked quite a big pitch as well. I don't know. To say they brought it in as well, they brought the lines in, but it still looked quite a big pitch. But as Simon said, it looked quite a poor pitch as well. Very patched up in places, not much room for slick passing and that, were they? But I think it was an illustration of how we have improved in terms of game management, where that game might have filtered out to a draw. I might have got sucker punched in it. But then again, did we really look like we were going to score until Will Volks popped his world in? I'm not too sure. So
It was a hell of a goal, wasn't it, Blair? Like, I thought he took it really well, didn't he?
Yeah, it was an unbelievable goal. It's like we rode a challenging hit the first time together. It was like never seen it like it really. And
it was like what he was attempting the game before, wasn't he? You know,
yeah.
we saw a few strikes, about three or four, didn't we, in the previous game? So there was an opportunity there to try and make one count, right?
It was like more of a curler, wasn't it, as well? It was like he just put his foot through it. Like, I loved it. It would pop a lift, bend. It was fantastic. And the away limbs, as they say on Twitter these days, was a good sound. I think one of the best sounds I've heard all season. So they proper... When you score in one of them games where you think, oh, we can't see it coming today, it's getting frustrating, you just... That euphoria is even bigger, isn't it? And I think it was
a game of blocked shots all the way through. We seem to have a lot of attempts which were blocked. And Wilkes had a shot blocked, which then I think fell to Volz.
Yeah.
And as it came across, because we were like, oh, fucking hell, it's another one's been blocked. And then as it was coming over, I think most of us thought it was either going wide or the keeper would get a hand to it. And it literally dropped over the keeper and went in. And there was it was almost like, he scored, and then Murray went mental. It was shock more than anything.
There is a delay, like, isn't there, and it hits the back of the net, and then you hear the crowd.
Yeah, it didn't look goal bound. It really did not look goal bound, and we were behind the goal, and it didn't look like it was going in. And then you saw the net flutter, and it was just pandemonium. Then
I do completely agree with you, though, Simon. I think last season that would have been like a Shrewsbury.
Yeah,
they would have wound us up big time. We would have started arms would have started flapping up and stuff. Bannon would have started getting face on, and then they would have scored a corner.
100%. Getting face on. I've not had getting face on in a while. Now, Steve, they weren't going to come back into it, were they? I mean, that was pretty much it. Once the goal's gone in, there was only one team going to come out outright winners in that one, right?
Yeah, I'd say so. I thought Saturday, given the game and the pitch, the circumstances and everything that's been said, I thought Saturday was outstanding. I thought we were brilliant, not in terms of the quality of football that we played, but going in the circumstances that they were, going to Port Vale on that pitch, which was a joke. I don't know if anybody else noticed it, but at half-time, I think their right-back picked up a chunk of the pitch and literally dropped it. As if somebody had taken a shovel to the pitch and, you know, sort of replaced it. It was terrible. It was an absolute death trap. And you can't play football on pitches like that. And for that reason, the fact that we stuck to task, I thought Will Volks arrived in a Wednesday shirt on Saturday. I thought that was his best performance for me. I thought Hennigan, and I've been a critic of Hennigan's, I thought Hennigan was outstanding. I had no issue with the selection. I said last week I thought he was going to play Wilkes, and he did. All right, it was enforced in terms of Gregory's injury, but I think he'd have probably made that change anyway. I think that was the kind of game where you put Wilkes in and say, right, we're going to give you a start and see how things are going. I thought, to a man, we stuck to task. We did what we needed to do. And once the goal had gone in, there was only going to be one winner. I thought, given everything that, you know, everything that played out on Saturday, I thought we were relatively comfortable. At 5 o'clock on Saturday, let's be right, I thought, given that, like we said, that's the kind of game that you draw last season or potentially lose, we might have turned a corner. And, you know, we wake up Sunday morning, everybody's buzzing, and we're talking about Tuesday night as if to say, you know, we could go top of the league on Tuesday if we beat Plymouth.
Well, I'm sure we'll get there. So
aiming for the truck.
Eventually, Sheffield Wednesday came out 1-0 winners against a really difficult Port Vale team that didn't turn up to play football on that day. And I don't know if you guys are old enough to remember, but before rubber crumb was a thing when you played five-a-side football at what used to be the Pits, if I remember rightly, and not Power League, as it's probably called now, they used to smash it full of sand. So I can imagine the players taking their boots off and just emptying half a ton of sand on the mum's mat. When they got back, I remember them days.
Like they'd put sand down and soil down, and then gone to B&Q and bought some turf. And there was no connection between the inch of turf and underneath. There was no connection at all. So that lump that Steve was talking about, I think Marvin Johnson had sort of chucked that up at some point in a tackle, and we saw it just sort of laid there as this dirty lump. It was. It was like
your name your sex tape.
I'd had the lawn laid and then never watered it during a really shitty summer. You know, it was mad. That pitch was shot. I've never seen a pitch like it. Never seen it like pitch. Even the school playing fields up at Comp are better than that, Dan.
Yeah, but mind you, we never got to play on them up at the Comp. We used to get on that plateau and just run round it in a yellow vest. That was that's what we used to have to do back in the early 90s. Now, in terms of selection, Forrester got a start. No, he didn't. Who the fuck's Forrester? That's for Port Vale. Sorry, I've made notes all over the place. I thought Forrester had a good game. Ihekwe. I think I've got that right this time because I was pronouncing it like Rob O'Neill was last night. Ihekwe, I thought, was very good that day. And I actually thought he was quite good last night. But what the player I want to speak to you about was James in that left centre-back role. I think he's starting to make that shirt his own, if I'm honest. I thought last night it was very good. I thought against Port Vale he was very good. And him and Johnson really seem to be, you know, Simon, they seem to be sinking up a little bit, as it were.
They do, but, and Steve might not like me for this, Johnson's not going through the best. He played well-ish the first half against Wickham. I thought he did the hard stuff really well against Port Vale, and then the easy stuff he didn't do very well. The balls into the box, the crossing, the passing, he let himself down. We'll talk about last night later on. I think James is looking brilliant, and is that showing Johnson's poor form at the moment? Is he showing his Nadkus is up? I don't know. I think Reece James playing where he is for a lad who's of his height
and his age,
he can read the game so well. Yeah. So well.
I must admit, I think he's impressed me the last couple of games. I think he's really good. Do you not agree, Steve?
I think he's the fact that McGuinness is injured. I'll be interested to see what happens when McGuinness is fit. And to the point around Johnson, I like the guy. I want all our players to do well, but if it's not right, it's not right. Everybody knows. Historically, I've thought a hell of a lot of Iorfa. Dominic Iorfa's got no business getting anywhere near our first team at the moment. And if the form isn't right, you've got to take players out. Johnson's playing at the minute in my eyes because we've got to play Reece James at left centre half. So who do we play at left centre back? At left wing back. So it'll be interesting to see when McGuinness gets fit, whether or not James goes out to the left when it's not happening for Johnson, or whether Johnson keeps his place and we look at adjusting somewhere else in the back three. I would suggest, dependent on the team that we're playing against, he's probably going to play McGuinness at that left centre half, and he's going to put James out there. Mm-hmm. I think to Dan's point, I think Reece James has been excellent since he's come in. We talked about it last week. I've got no issue with his height, to be honest with you. I don't think he's been at fault aerially for anything. I think he covers the ground well. He reads the game well. He overlaps Johnson really, really well and offers that threat going down the left-hand side. That sort of partnership relationship has worked really well for us. So I've got no problem there at all. He deserves the credit he's getting and the recognition that he gets, because the last two, three games he's been very good.
He certainly gives me a lot more confidence than when the ball comes over than when Odebayo was playing. You know what I mean? Like, he certainly knows where the ball's going to go. And I tell you what won us that one as well. It's that 5-4-1-2 formation that I mentioned last week that I've been rinsed out about on the internet for about a week now. I tell you what, let's move on. Let's get the Plymouth game. You know, Port Vale are what they are. We beat them. And like, I did wanted to mention that Forrester, because he's a bit of me, he is. He's an absolute shit kicker. Like, proper old-school centre-back. Let's just clear the lines and shout me on name and edit. You know what I mean? He was. I liked him. I was like, this lad's all right. And I'd love to see him on a decent pitch, if I'm honest, when he actually comes to playing football. That'd be absolutely lovely. But yeah, let's get to Plymouth. Now, I was trying to look at the lineup to see if there was any kind of massive changes that changed going in, and not really. Was that, but Backinson started, didn't he, Blair? And I don't think he actually played that badly, but there was a few people on the internet would disagree.
No, I think he was possibly at fault for the first goal. You could argue that.
I don't know. Didn't they just break?
They caught us on the counter. He cocked up before the first goal and nearly conceded. That was it. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I thought he was good. I really like him. I really rate him. I thought the team selection was spot on last night.
Yeah.
And like I said this morning, after having sleeping on it, I think that's the best we've played all season for 75 minutes. I was well impressed. Like, you know what I mean? And I thought, when do we talk about it? Because unfortunately, his substitutions has ruined that, because no one's even mentioning how good we were for 75 minutes now.
Yeah, it was Ash that mentioned in the group chat, wasn't it, John, that sort of said... you know, it's a shame that that's the result, because no one's really going to talk about now just how good a game it was up until those substitutions that I'll come to Stevie about in a bit. But the game was really good. I must admit, I was really... It was like watching a game of tennis that first 20 minutes, wasn't it?
It was great, wasn't it?
It was. It was very end-to-end. And what was pleasing about it is that they're the team that were there to be shot at. They were up there at the top, and we were like sort of, you know... The big team coming into like a top of the table clash, and you know the last three visits we've taken down there, gone down there. It's not been good, has it? We've not got anything. We've not got a sniff.
Yeah.
But this time felt different, and you know we came out quick, and after conceding early, we responded really quick with Liam Palmer. Great through ball there. I can't remember who played it through now. It might have been Backinson.
I think it was Backinson.
Played it through for Palmer and he equalised. And you know, they were like, "This is great this night. We've not, you know, we've gone behind early, but we haven't done like we've done in previous seasons. We've got back in it." And it was really end to end stuff, like you said. Like it was like a basketball game up and down. And I just thought, you know, cities are going to be like there or thereabouts. I thought we dominated that game for large periods, both first and second half. And I thought we'd have took our chances. That game should have finished 3-1, 4-2, easily to Wednesday. I mean, they were there for the taking. And they had some luck as well, didn't they? Because a couple of shots from Winness hit the post. Their keeper were turned into Buffon, the name. It was just ridiculous, you know. Same as the other guy we played earlier this season. He turned into
Morecambe keeper.
Morecambe, yeah, they'll just turn into Len Yashin, don't they, all of a sudden? But they were,
Len Yashin? Bloody hell.
I'm sure he'd be aged out.
Of all the good keepers you can pick.
Yeah.
Is that how he's got a picture that's black and white on FIFA Ultimate Team? So there you go.
Oh, they are. But, you're so down with the kids, John, mate. Like, I tell you what, Simon, speaking of keepers, like, Stockdale's not going to want to watch that first goal again. I mean, am I being overcritical, or did he absolutely shit the bed on that and not really, you know?
It was a tale of three players, wasn't it? Stockdale being the last person to try and stop it. You know, there was two players on him, Heckley and Hennigan, I think, who both gave him time to shoot, gave him time on the ball. And then, the ball in, he should have done better, should have saved it. He's had a lot of people criticising him yesterday.
The annoying thing about the goal was I thought the break, what we broke, because they broke on our break, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that break was really good.
Yeah, it was. They had a chance. We broke really well. I mean, we absolutely leathered up that pitch, didn't we? And then it kind of came the other way. We went, we're losing. What?
That summed up the start. But then afterwards, we came back within, it was great. Well, I don't know how soon we scored after they'd scored, but it was probably 5-10 minutes, if that.
I think it was two, yeah. Yeah. They were 7-11, something like that. Yeah,
and we played Ipswich now, drew 2-2 with them. So I just sort of like we've all slept on it, haven't we? Since, and I know we were messaging each other last night, and I sort of looked at Twitter and I went to bed in a really, really bad mood. And Joanne Carton and Stan got into bed, and it was like such a fucking foul mood. Excuse me, friends. And then I got up this morning and I was still in the foul mood, and then went to work, and Works managers started, it was a Wednesday, I started talking about it. And that I came into a more foul mood, and then even more foul mood every Wednesday. We were all just stomping around work today. Middle-aged men in bad moods.
I mean, let's not get carried away. We did lose to a last-minute winner at the top of the league. You know what I mean? But
you've got to look back on it and say, right, okay, so we've gone against a team who have won every game or won every game at home, were top of the league, scored God knows how many goals, who previously we got, last time we played them in the league, we got battered down there. And up till 70 minutes, we were the better team, without doubt. We battered them. And if it wasn't for the reincarnation of Buffon in their goal, we would have been 4-1 up, 5-1 up. I mean, some of the saves he made, that save from Johnson,
I thought the Windass one was most impressive.
Yeah, if Smith had actually put that one away where it was virtually one on when it was one on one.
Terrible finish, right?
It was a terrible finish. And you just think if they'd been so we missed chances and also the keeper kept them in the game. And up to that point, we were far, far, far the better team. Far better. That nobody can deny. Even the Plymouth fans cannot deny that they were shitting themselves. Bannon, Windass were ripping them a new backside.
They were. Now, before we get to the substitute, Stevie, I'm going to give you a two-minute-long platform to wax lyrical about the goal that we scored and the way you took it and the celebrations and the fact that he scores more this season than he has done any other season in his career combined.
My proud dad moment again. It's a weekly thing, isn't it? The guy's great, and I thought the goal was great. I think the response was exactly what we need, and the fact that we rebounded and scored the equaliser as early as we have, because in other games that becomes a thing where we carry that, and you know you go into a sort of a thing where we're then chasing the game. We've responded really well last night. And I get maybe it's me with sort of uncharacteristic negativity. I don't think we were far, far, far better than Plymouth last night. I don't. And I know that's the overriding feeling up until 70.
I thought we were good, but I also thought they were as well, as that's it sounds. We were playing sublime, but it's not like they were playing shit either.
That first 45 minutes was probably the best 45 minutes of football I've seen in terms of a game of football at League One. Since we've come back down, I thought the game was brilliant. It was full on end to end basketball, fast break stuff. The goal that they scored was fast break, or you know, counter attack as we call it when we're talking about soccer, football. it was just good. It was a good game of football. It was enjoyable. I think, to be fair, 1-1 going right to sort of the wire, whether we agree with the substitutions or not. And I'm not saying that I do or I don't yet. A draw would have been fine. And if we don't concede that goal in the last minute, everything's absolutely all right, isn't it? And we take heart from the performance that we've put in. But I think, you know, Liam Palmer, excellent. I don't think there were many players that were better than him, if any, from a Wednesday point of view on the pitch last night. He took the goal really well. He's proven that he can get forward. He's fit. We talk about it every week. He's looking fit. He's getting better with age. I think we've talked about the fact that, or I've talked about the fact that previously, I don't subscribe to this notion that he's found his level at League One.
I was going to see. I've written that down for you, Stevie. Actually, I've literally written that sentence down with your name next to it. And the reason is, I've seen a lot of it the last few weeks since he's been performing. Now we know that he spent the summer working on his fitness, on the side, as it were, while he was raising money for charity, but also still turning mega fit. He's turning out better performances. But that phrase crops up a lot because he's performing very well in League One. So people are saying that Palmer's found his level. But I was unfortunate enough to watch Leicester versus Nottingham Forest the other day. And in that Forest team, there is nobody sat there that I've sat there that I'm thinking, Liam Palmer's probably better than them. I mean, Jesse Lingard, Jesus Christ, who's paying him?
Yeah. No, I totally agree. But my frustration around that is I'll take Bannon out because Bannon's a class apart from...
Well, it's the £1 million a week he's on, mate.
It's £40,000 a week. But, you know, we talk about Windass, and it's Windass is far too good for this level. We talk about that a lot. And he is. You're absolutely right, he is. You know, we can talk about players that are too good to play at this level. I put Palmer in that conversation. I think we mentioned last week, if we get out of this league, we ain't struggling. We won't struggle in Championship.
Not with the squad we've got. That we own as well. And I think that's something that Moore's done that we haven't had the luxury of doing since the Carlos years, is that we actually own these players.
Yeah, but the problem is we're going to be talking about that sort of situation. That's that there. But hanging over us is the fact that we've conceded last night in the last minute because Darren Moore's made the substitution that he's made, or the substitutions that he's made, plus the fact when you look at it, and the thing that annoys me more than the substitutions, my worry, my concern, and we'll get to it, if you don't mind, we'll go there now. It's not the substitutions that we've made. It's the fact that when you look at it in the cold light of day, out of the teams that we've played, with the 18 points that are available against that top seven, we've taken 5 points.
That is concerning. It actually sounds, I weren't slitting my wrists with a 2-2 draw against Ipswich. I was like, you know, they're a good team. I'll take a draw against them, you know, all the rest of it. Last night was a bitter pill to swallow, given how well we played. But like I said, they weren't rubbish. They are a good team in this league. They are. But we've had a couple of slips at home, which, I mean, is it Barnsley, if I remember rightly?
Barnsley, drawn at Portsmouth, drawn with Ipswich. So we've dropped 4-7 points again. 7 points out of 9 we've dropped there. That's the concern. The substitutions were fucking mental.
Let's get there in a bit.
But the point situation is the problem. We're dropping too many points. And what it's going to create is a situation where we're looking at the teams taking points off each other at the top. And I think we talked about it again previously last week. If we keep steamrolling against the teams that we should be beating, that's fine. It becomes who takes points off each other. And we didn't go up last year because we didn't take
off the teams around us. We all remember your Bath story, mate, from last season. You know what I mean? We've still got the mental picture. Now, before we get to the substitutes, John, not the visual one. Before we get to the substitutes, John, I want to talk to you about Bannon. He was by far and away the best player on that pitch last night. And he has been a number of times this season. And, I do like listening to the away commentary when I listen to it as well, the way they speak about him. They talk about him like he's Lionel Messi, but also a bit shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like we've paid through the nose for this guy who's been subscribed to the club for the last 8 years. And he's, you know what I mean? Like we've just managed to go, whoa, really? How have we got him? But one thing that we've brought up on this show over the last few years, and I'm pretty sure we spoke about it this season, is that when Barry Bannon trusts the players around him, when he's got confidence in the players next to him, that he can play a certain type of football and there's players showing for him, you can see he's got a great connection with Windass. And then he did that with Volks and he had it with Byers. I've not seen that confidence in Barry Bannon, dare I say, since Kieran Lee left.
Yeah. Yeah, good call. Yeah, absolutely. He's thriving, isn't he? He's absolutely thriving. And he's very fit. You know, he runs all day. We all know that. So he's not slowed down. Age hasn't slowed him down. He's a bit like Palmer in a sense that he's got older, but he's got better. Mm-hmm. Now, I know we've dropped a league, but he's absolutely dominating in these games. You look at how confident he were last night in that game and how far forward he was playing. You know, when times when you used to see Bannon picking it up from his defensive back line, you'd be thinking, what's he doing down there? You know, last night, he was more or less sat in the hole, wasn't it? It was just, he was just picking passes. He was just finding the passes to win Nass and getting ball out wide. One-touch passing, flicks, everything were coming off, weren't they? It was just literally like when you're playing Sunday League and an ex-pro comes and turns up and you're like,
every loose ball he picked up as well.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. And he's not doing that thing that he was doing that, you know, Simon and I have had plenty of conversation about it, about players around Bannon not, you know, when we stuck him next to Pella Pessi, all of a sudden we've got a Barry Bannon now that's dropping deep and he's dropping deeper still and messing up the defence and their lines and all the rest of it. That doesn't seem to be happening anymore because I feel he's got confidence in the players around him, which is so refreshing to see because what we have now is, like you say, we've got that ex-pro turning up at Sunday League absolutely making us look all daft than that.
He's just dominating teams and they can't stop him. I mean, the better teams can. Like the top, you know, the teams that we've played and we've lost points, they'll get on him. Plymouth, I thought, didn't really get on him, but he couldn't really stop him, and which is why we're also bemused that he got taken off. You know,
yeah, we controlled that midfield completely.
We were in charge, weren't we? We're absolutely in charge. Yes, Plymouth had the moments, in particular their striker was causing us some problems.
The one who Windass got his shirt. I don't know if you saw that on Instagram today. Swap shirts with Hardy at the end of the game.
Hardy, yeah, that's the one. That's the guy, yeah. I mean, he was targeting our right side in that first half, and they were giving Heckway problems, and
yeah.
Palmer was trying to get back because he was trying to be both a defender and attacker, you know, in that wing-back role, as you do. And they were targeting that, so I think that's why we brought Iofa on, purely for pace, because he's not offering much else, is he, right now? I mean, when he tried to get back for their goal and he fell flat on his face, I'm like, oh, geez, you know, this guy's just not going for him, is it, right now?
When I was I was on holiday the other day, right, and this is going to sound really weird. Has anybody seen that movie? I thought it was called Live, Die, Repeat, but it's not. It's a Tom Cruise movie.
Edge of Tomorrow.
Edge of Tomorrow, where he keeps replaying the same day. Because have you seen the way the aliens move in that movie? They kind of roll with their limbs flying around everywhere, kind of like a Tasmanian devil, but going forward. And that reminds me of Dominic Iorfa.
It's a good film, though.
The way he was going, he was going to go past him and tackle him, and then he just fell over.
I know, yeah. I know.
It was like somebody,
you know,
shot
what it reminded me of? You know those YouTube videos where they riled a middle-aged fat man up and he goes running after him down the road, and then the camera turns around and he's like that. And he falls.
It was the most, because I thought, oh, he's got him. He's going to go past him. This is the Dom of old. He's going to sprint past him. And Ethan said, oh, Big Dom's got him. And the next minute, he fell over.
I'm sure the best of us done it, Steve. We've all done it. We're big lads. Now, Simon, I'm going to ask you to fill a role here because this is the point that we've all been waiting for. Now, had it been last season, we'd have had Ash here, and he'd have been the person I'd have kept this topic in the pocket for somebody like Ash. So I'm going to ask you to fill that role for me now.
Okay.
Let's talk about the substitutions, because I thought we were absolutely. We were on top, weren't we?
Right, so I've got to get my inner Ash out.
Yeah, you've got to channel your inner Ash, mate.
Fucking hell, I've got to be a very angry man. Right, okay. So substitutions. Ethan said to me, he'll bring Pato on. And I looked across at my 14-year-old son, and in my head, I didn't say this, I went, that was a fucking stupid.
And, you kids know not.
And yeah, no note. And the substitution, in the past, he's been taking Windass off, or he's taken Bannon off, but not either of them at the same time. And the two guys who were running and ragged, and the guy who was running the game, which in my opinion was Bannon, he took both of them off. And at that point, he brought Patterson on and Dele Bashiro, who hasn't really shown to us that he deserves a new contract. I just looked, and Ethan went, he's far, he knows football far better than I do. They're going defensive, Dad. They're going to hold out. I looked at the clock and I went, oh, fuck. You know what he reminded me of, Dan? Wimbledon away.
I was actually thinking. But with Wimbledon away, we were 2-0 up against bloody Wimbledon. You know what I mean? I go, yeah, we're all right, lads. They're not going to break through.
Right, that keeper could only make so many more saves. There's only so many more misses we could make. We were going to win that game. And I know Steve said, look, they had their time in the second half. Plymouth did occasionally attack us, but we were on the ascendancy. We were the team on the ascendancy. They had to change it up to try and counter that, but we were still on the ascendancy. The two players who were running that game, he took off. And his excuses afterwards were they were tiring. Well, I'm sorry, guys, there's five of us here. I didn't see any of them. The player I thought was tiring was Smith up front.
Yeah.
He was grafting Smith.
I would have taken Smith off and brought Gregory on. Now, anybody who says, oh, Gregory is injured, well, Blair said it on the WhatsApp earlier on. If somebody is injured, why are they on the bench? They shouldn't be on the bench, right?
Giving them 20 minutes ain't the worst thing to ever happen either. You know what I mean?
Coming on in 1 minute, you know, Patterson came on and I don't actually remember him doing anything. It was just a complete head screw from him coming on. I asked
Is it because you got mugged off by your kid? Is that where it is? Because you God, I really am now a silly old sod.
Like. I asked Pete Lohman today, I asked him, because he's the stats man, isn't he? And I asked him, what were the stats before and what were the stats after? And we were matching Plymouth ball for ball up to that 70th minute. And then after the 70th minute, we just disappear. And that, he basically took any confidence that he's built up since the start of the season in his management style and the changes, like we were talking about Port Vale last season, we would have either drawn that or lost that. All that confidence that we had and all that, he's not going to make a mess up, and that him understanding that maybe he hasn't got it quite right. Like the Ipswich game, he didn't have the formation right and he changed it and it changed the game and we drew that game. Everything, all that confidence we built up in the manager and all the ammunition that the Moore outers had no longer got.
Can you imagine being a Plymouth player or a Plymouth fan and seeing Bannon and Windoff getting taken up?
I tweeted it today.
Fucking hell.
People actually saying, he's a right player, Bannon. Thank God you took him off. It was memes by Plymouth fans.
Yeah, yeah. I love the idea that in like a click of a finger, all of a sudden, all of our momentum's just gone. You know what I mean? So I think I'm going to call this Darren Thanos Moore this episode. Yeah, like, you know absolutely. What I mean? Just boom, gone. Now, Blair, this isn't... It was Plymouth. Plymouth are top of the league. Mm-hmm. Plymouth were good last season. Plymouth have battered us a good number of times. Now, I understand taking Windass and Bannon off if we were playing, God, Morecambe. You know what I mean? Bristol Rovers, Burton.
And you're 3-0 up.
And we're 3-0 up. Yeah, I get it. You know, give him a rest. But these are the games that we want our big players to do 90 minutes in, isn't it?
Yeah. If we won that game last night, and I think we were on course to do that, I really were. That we could have gone top of the league. Well, we would have gone in second because Ipswich won, but we would have been second. Yeah. I think from a confidence, from a fan perspective, from a managerial perspective and a player perspective, we would have been second. And I think they would have they could have really pumped their chest, stuck their chest out on Saturday. And be like, we're not moving from second now. Or for, you know what I mean? If we're leaving second, we're going top. That's it.
Come beat us.
Yeah, because we've just gone down to, Plymouth, who were top of the league. He got rearranged because of, what happened, and he got rearranged to a Tuesday night, which was a difficult fixture anyway. Going down in on a Tuesday, fucking trek, innit? 5 hours, and then. He did the cardinal sin of looking to the next game, didn't he? He got 70 minutes, thought, take these off now, get a point here, then I'll smash Cheltenham. That's four points.
That massive powerhouse that is Cheltenham.
Yeah,
that's in it.
That's four.
And I think that's my issue
with
it.
4 points from six. I'm buzzing here.
Now, I'm not going to go down the route of more in, more out. Reason being is, I think it's very difficult to have that conversation given that we're in League One, we're third in the league, and he did drop, he dropped the arse out of it last night. I don't think there's many
Callum,
people.
And but... Callum Patterson. Like, I get it, right? He's a million times better at football than I am. He's a great bloke. I see him outside Hillsborough taking pictures with kids. Do you know what I mean? I'm sure he's a great lad in and around the dressing room, but he's fucking wank.
You forgot the thunder chuffer that he scored against Bournemouth.
Oh yeah. But God, whenever he comes on, he does nothing, absolutely nothing.
Listen, there is a role for a player like that. I can't understand that we signed him as a right back and he played right back. I can't in my head see that man doing what LP2 does.
Nobody can do what LP2 is.
Ah, here he is. Look, here he is. Bloody hell.
Well, Monk got rid of Nuiu and got him in to play striker.
Yeah,
well.
I love the way that we replaced Nuiu with Nuiu 2.0, essentially. That's what we did. who doesn't seem to have the ball control that Nuiu had. Anyway.
Diet Nuiu.
Anyway.
Okay, just one point. I thought it was interesting. I've seen a couple of bits on... And I think you guys have covered the substitutions and everything. Just from my point of view, fuck's sake, Darren, I stick up for you every week. I try and give you everything.
He makes it hard, doesn't he?
It's like
being a Michael Jackson fan in the early 90s. It's this all over again. You're going, Jesus, help me out. Just one day.
Honestly, I was like, it got to like half time. I'm thinking, yeah. Like second half, I'm thinking we're on top here. We, you know, I thought it was competitive, but you know, I agree with everything that had been said. And then the subs happened, and I thought, right. And then the goal went in, and I just thought, oh God, Jesus. And you know, I think the interesting thing from my point of view is that you get the lads that will come on, and they'll be active on social media. And I know that there was a little bit of a talk last night about Bannon. And how he responded to being subbed. Mm-hmm. He's been very, very quiet on Twitter today.
He has, hasn't he? Yeah. He's still mardy about it. Geese is a winner.
One retweet about the Ben Eubank fight, but as it stands at the moment at sort of half eight, when we last checked, he's been very quiet today.
You weren't happy, was he, when he came off?
No, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
I was gonna ask you about that. So it's obvious that the changes that were made changed the game for the negative for Wednesday. As a football player, the guys here who played football at a fairly, you know, I was a rugby player, was this fact is that when you know a manager has made a mistake like that, how do you approach, and we were, it was night and day, wasn't it? After the 70th minute, it was night and day to the 65th minute to the 75th minute.
I tell you, it's a good question. That's so I don't know if you're the same, Steve. If any of you guys worked in hospitality or even any job, and you have those days where they're absolutely bloody rubbish, where everything falls to shit, and you're going, oh, for God's sake, how has this happened again? Yeah, yeah. And then
that's in a new job, Steve.
But for me. For me, I'll have a pint after work, and then I'll be like, "Oh God, I'm all right now. Tomorrow's a new day, and I can restart. I can recheck." But I think that when you lose the dressing room, it's when you keep making those mistakes. When those mistakes start frequently happening, then all of a sudden these players don't play for you anymore. Mm-hmm. And we had that with Josh Lukai, for example. He started making some queer decisions and playing without strikers. And you're thinking, does this guy actually know how to play this bloody game? And it's when they happen regularly. Now, if Darren Moore fucks up his substitutes again, dressing room's gone.
I can't disagree with that. Yeah. I think for everything that we've talked about over a course of weeks, months, year and a half, whatever, and people saying can't get us out of the league or anything like that, last night felt to me as a Darren Moore supporter, it felt to me like the biggest bollock that he's dropped. And I mean that.
That one was tangible. I think that was a tangible error.
I have got no issue with, and I won't subscribe to this, he gets his tactics are wrong or he sets us up wrong. I don't subscribe to that because we play good fucking football. We play good football. Nobody's going to tell me otherwise. We play good football in League One. We set up in a similar way to everybody else. You watch Premiership. We set up at League One level. We are Premiership light in the way that we play football. I've got no problem with that whatsoever. Last night was an absolute catastrophe.
It's like, I'll tell you what it reminds me of. Sorry, John, I'll come to you in a second. I've just realised I've not spoken to you in about 10 minutes. It reminds me of, you know, when like I say, I'm a Yorkshire expat. I've lived out of Yorkshire now for a number of years. And Blair, so have you. You've done the same, right? And there's a point where people start to know who you are and where you're from and all the rest of it. And then somebody from like Hull or Sheffield United or even Wednesday will lose their job. And what Sky Sports do is find the biggest fucking moron they can find who wears leggings as outer trousers that are far too thin. And they go and interview them. You know what I mean? And there's a point where you're like, come on, Yorkshire, don't let me down. Don't let me down. And then they'll go, so right, what do you think about the sacking of Gary Buck? Well, I think if that thought with this good thing, I really love Gary Buck. You go, ah! You kind of, whatever group of people that you think you belong to, when they let you down like that, that's what Stevie felt like last night. Like, you know what I mean? Like I said, I remember when Jarvis Cocker ran on stage when Michael Jackson was at the Brit Awards, and you go, shit. Brilliant.
That's going to stick with us. That's going to stick with Sheffield, that, isn't it?
That group of people that you belong to, that you identify with, let you down, and you go, Oh, fluff.
He's really upset me last night.
But it's all really right. Yeah, see, you had one up with LP2 scoring, and then we lost the game because of the substitutes you made. You know, you're just on an equal keel now, mate. You know what I mean? You're all right. Right.
I'm par.
Okay, so anyway, Sheffield Wednesday were 2-1 eventual losers and missed the chance to go top, but still third, still with only a quarter of the season gone. So we don't need to do more in, more out just yet. Let's wait until we drop to about 12th. Now, Stevie, it's your turn for the game show. It's another TWW Cast game show. What's the quiz tonight, Stevie?
Right. Are you ready, men?
Hit me up.
I have gone according to, we're going to do a game. The game is this. I want to know, on the list, there are 25 people. We are looking at the top 25 transfer fees that Sheffield Wednesday have ever paid.
Oh my God.
This is absolutely mint.
It's actually cringe-worthy now. How little we've spent.
Right. Do you want me to keep score here, or are you keeping score?
No, I've got it. We're going to do last man standing. We're going to go around. The order will be.
We haven't got to give the figure, though, have we?
Say again?
We haven't got to give the figure of what we signed for.
No, I have got. This is not Wikipedia. I've gone from Transfer Market, the top 25 players that we've ever paid a transfer fee for. I'm not interested. I can tell you the fee once you've got them. I can tell you who we signed them from once you've got them. We'll go around in order. We're going to start with Fudge. We're going to go John. We're going to go Blair. We're going to go Si, because that's all that's on my screen.
Oh,
okay. Men, contenders ready.
Let me get some more gin. One sec.
Right, if I'm going first, I'm going for the easy one. I'm going to go straight in. Jordan Rhodes has got to be the most expensive.
Correct. Jordan Rhodes, number one, according to Transfer Market, 10.53 million from Middlesbrough.
And that's why we got a points deduction.
Quick disclaimer. Anybody who wants to dispute prices or anybody else that's not on the list, we're going on my list that came from Transfer Market.
Mr. Spence, its word is final.
Yeah.
John, over to you.
Alman Abde.
Oh, that's a good shout, that.
Alman Abde was number 9.
Wow.
The 9th most expensive player that we paid for. According to this, 3.24 million. Blair.
I'll go for number 2, Adam Reach.
Correct. Adam Reach, 5.31 million.
5.31 million. For someone to point.
Dr. Simon.
Top 15.
Top 25.
Top 25. And who was, how much was, what did you say? Abde.
Alman Abde. We had him at 4 million, didn't we? But according to Transfer Market, 3.24.
And where did he fit in between Rhodes? Where was he?
I'll give you the numbers.
As they come out, I'll give you the numbers. Jordan Rhodes was number 1. Adam Reach was number 2. Alman Abde, number 9.
Bloody hell.
It's a fantastic game, this, Steve.
I told you, didn't I?
Fernando Forestieri.
I'm going to guess about 3.5 million.
3.71. Number 6.
Number 6 at 3.5 million.
At 3.5 million. Jesus, 3.7 million. Number 6.
Yeah.
Okay.
The reason
I'm asking these prices is because if number 6 is 3.5 million, I remember distinctly paying something disgusting for Joost van Aken. Because it was during that period of time where we'd looked at 200 defenders.
Is he your answer?
Yeah, let's go for it. I want to say it was about 2 million. And we were at like championship level, struggling for money.
Van Aken, number 12.
What?
12? He's our 12th most expensive signing.
12th most expensive player. 2.7 million from Heerenveen.
I'll never forgive him for that Sheffield United game.
Me either. I used to love bouncing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, I hate it now.
John.
I'm going to go with a club legend, Paolo Di Canio.
No, because I think we swapped him for Reggie Blinker.
£3.5 million and Reggie Blinker, I thought it were. Or £2.5 million and Reggie Blinker.
I can confirm that according to Transfer Market, Paolo Di Canio is not on the list.
He's not there at all.
Jesus.
Wow.
Paolo Di Canio is not on our list of transfer fees paid.
It was about £4.5 million quid, though, all in
valued
all.
Valued at.
Yeah.
Valued at, but not what we bought him for.
Yeah, that's harsh, that, John.
Wasn't O'Donnell part of the transfer?
They came together, didn't they? Donnelly and O'Donnell came together.
Yeah.
I thought it was Blinker in about 3 months.
We had Donnelly and O'Donnell came at the same time, and then we did a part deal with Celtic for PDC.
And Blinker went.
Blinker.
Right, Blair.
I'll play it safe. I'll go Gary Hooper.
Gary Hooper.
What a
number
player.
Number 7. £3.5 million.
That was big money, wasn't it?
We were fucking ruined.
Oh, I don't know. Got us money's worth out of Gary Hooper.
The days of spending £3.5 million on a player like
long
Gary
gone, mate. Long gone. Pipe dream. Halcyon days.
Si.
Oh, God.
Some of the names that are outstanding.
The shit that's been signed into Chancery. I'll tell you what, I'll go for an old one. I'll go for an old one because I'm an old bugger.
Maybe yours.
I'll go Andy Sinton.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I remember we paid actual money for him, didn't we? Was it Spurs we got him from?
QPR.
My old gaffer.
Andy Sinton is at number 10. £3 million.
Is it number 10?
And Andy Sinton.
We spent £3 million quid, and that was like what, 1993-94
season.
Mm. Wow,
turned down Arsenal for us, didn't it?
That's top money. That is,
in them days,
what a flex!
right.
Oh, he's writing them down. Come on,
I'm writing a list of names. There's one that's been triggered, but I'm keeping that in the pocket because I'm going to drop some knowledge on you right now. I remember my mate Dave Marshall telling me when I was 10 years old at school that we were going to sign Marseille's Chris Waddle for £1 million around 1991. So if we're spending £3.5 million on Jules Van Aken or whatever the bloody hell we spent, Chris Waddle has to be in that list for a million quid.
Is it in the top 25, though?
25.
Wasn't a lot, was
I? I can tell you, Dan. I need that X Factor music, don't I?
It's there.
Chris Waddle in the top 25 list of Sheffield Wednesday transfer fees paid is number 25.
That's it! Skinny a teeth, lads.
What was the figure? What was the figure?
It was figure according to transfer quid. Market is 1.35 million.
Right.
Can we just have a moment to just reflect on the fact that we've paid 1.35 million for Chris Waddle?
And how much for Jules Van Aken?
Van Aken's twice was the player that Waddle was.
and a quarter of the player that Al Manabdi was.
Wow.
Where?
Marco Matthias.
Good man.
Did we pay
11.
Actual money for him?
Oh, yeah, quite a bit.
2.7.
Oh, fuck. We didn't play him.
Goal scorer in Portugal, weren't they, when we bought him?
But... Was it? Are you all right there, Blair? You're getting attacked by the cat there, pal.
Yeah. Cat wants to join in.
Right, I'm in the dregs now. Is it me or is it Simon?
It's Simon.
Oh God, shit! I was. shit. Andy Booth.
Oh, you prick! That's a good one.
Oh, Andy Booth.
1.7 million.
No.
Oh, what?
Andy Booth, we paid £3.5 million for.
Wow.
He's number 8.
Wow.
He could shit goals for Huddersfield before we signed him.
And he shit goals for Huddersfield after he went as well.
Yeah.
That, when I was a kid, I used to love shouting Boovler.
He's the 1990s version of Sam Winnell.
Yeah. I'm going to play it safe, but the problem is it's going to let somebody else in, and I kind of want to shit house my way to a win here, but I'm going to do it because earlier on one of you mentioned Heerenveen, and I'm pretty sure that's where we got Gerald Seebon from.
Oh,
I'm keeping that in my back pocket. That
okay, Gerald Seebon,
right.
Didn't get him from Heerenveen. We got him from Ajax.
Did we sell him two Heerenveen?
I think we sold him two, and he ended up playing Champions League football.
That's right, with the hearts. It's a Sheffield Wednesday kit with hearts on it, isn't it?
Yeah. He was number 13, 2.7.
Oh, get in.
Blair.
Lucas Zhao.
Lucas Zhao, number 17, 2.5. Simon.
Des Walker.
Oh, you prick!
Des Walker, number 15, 2.7.
I thought he was half the price of that. I thought we'd sign him for a lot less. All right, I'm going to go... Well, nobody took my lead, so I'm going to go with Gilles de Vilder.
Oh, that was great.
Number 3, 4.5 million.
Number three.
Our top three, in reverse order, is de Vilder, Reach, and... Jordan Rhodes.
Well, the thing is, with De Builder, we bought two Alsatians as well, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah, and bail money.
Yeah.
Where?
Carboni.
Ooh.
If they paid less than £1 million for him, I'll be fucking...
Carboni is not on the list.
Oh, my God.
Never.
Is he not? They just don't like Italians, John. That's what it is, mate.
Benito Carboni is not on the list.
Wow.
Right.
Simon.
All right.
There's one name that I'm going to share with you once this is done, and it's going to absolutely blow your mind.
Blow your mind.
Wim Jonk.
I think Wim Jonk signed on a free, actually.
Yeah, did we pay for Wim Jonk?
He were on 40 grand a week in the 1990s, weren't he?
40 grand a week!
Bloody hell!
Bannon money.
Bannon money in the 90s.
It's a difficult one, this, because we signed two lads at the same time, and I can't remember if we paid.
Yeah, we let the good one go and kept the shit one. The shit one had a Premier League career for about another 10 years.
I'll go... I know one went to Italy, signed for a huge amount of money. Which was it Darko Kovacevic? But I'm going for Dejan Stefanovic.
Stefanovic is number 14.
Right. Ooh, good shot.
I've just fought a load more now.
2.7.
What did Darko go to? Did he go to Juventus for like 9 million or something?
No, I think we sold him to something like Real Valladolid or something like that. He had a season there.
Real Sociedad.
Real Sociedad.
And then they sold him
for 15 million quid.
Wasn't he living in like Hallam Towers and eating McDonald's and was really homesick? And that's
He had he had skin so white he was see through after a while. He was so grey, wasn't he? Right. Okay. Right. Somebody's just triggered me there because I remember he told us a story about this on one of our early lockdown lives about those two Yugoslavs that didn't know each other.
Yeah.
And we just assumed they did because they were countrymen. But the man himself, we let him go. He played for Leeds and then we signed him back, John Newsome.
Dan, number 19.
Wow.
Good shout,
boy. Well done.
Ty.
John Newsome.
Oh, God. Why does it keep going around to me?
It's only me and you left.
Is it?
Yeah.
Numbers remaining. You've not picked the fourth, the fifth, the sixth.
The fourth?
We've got the fourth highest is still out there. And the fifth. You'll kick yourself at the fifth as well, by the way. Well, you kick yourself at the fourth.
Andy Inchcliffe.
Oh, that's a good one. Mm. I had that one.
Inchcliffe is number five.
Last Wednesday player to get an England cap.
Was it?
Yeah.
I think so.
Right, Andy Hinchcliffe's gone, right?
Yep.
I don't know how I'm still in this.
Mark Bright. Oh, was out of nowhere. It's got to be. We paid. We had to pay money.
5, were it?
Number 22.
Might have been that one.
Mate, I am proper struggling now.
Do, 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 do. You're going to kick yourself. Do, 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 do.
I've got one that I wanted to say for about the last 5, but because
I wanted to say Francis Jeffers.
Can we go Chris Woods?
Chris Woods? Simon!
What?
He's not on the list.
Ah! Do you know, right, okay, so before I assume victory here, there was... Obviously, did we actually say Darko Kovacevic in the end?
We didn't.
No, we got him.
Okay, so he's on the list.
I've written this name down, and you and I know that I've got the same love for him as you have for LP2. And I'm going to go with Northern Irish Mike Sensation. Is Ian Nolan on that list?
He is number 20.
Ian Nolan. Where did you pull that from? Ian Nolan.
Who are we missing then, Steve?
Okay.
Just go down the list.
Yeah. I'll go in reverse order because reverse order is funny.
Reverse order.
We had Waddle at 25. I'm not going to do them all, obviously, for time. Waddle at 25. Chef Kikuchi was 24.
Oh, that's how much?
1.35.
It was in the tip of my tongue, that one.
23 we didn't get. Richard Creswell.
From York, yeah.
21. Excuse me, coughing on camp, on mic. 21 was Jim McGilton.
Jimmy Magic.
Steve, how much were Creswell, how much were Creswell quickly?
1.4.
And how much was Jim McGilton then?
Jim McGilton, 1.7.
Keep going. Who else did we not get?
Sorry, I've got a coughing fit coming. Ian Nolan, 20, was 2.03. Here's one for you. Patrick Blondo.
Patrick Blondo.
Oh, my God.
Number 18. Player.
French player of the year.
Number 18. Number 16, we've mentioned him. Or the last two we've mentioned, the two that we didn't get. Number 16 was Wim Jonk.
Oh, we actually paid money for him?
We paid 2.5 for Wim Jonk. From PSV Eindhoven.
Wow.
And the outlier, 4.5 million, the fourth most expensive player that we've ever signed was Darko Kovacevic.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh,
he was 4.5 million.
Yeah. 4.5 mil.
Christ.
Was Alex Anderson on the list?
No.
Wow, that was a great game, that, Steve. And
I think the stifters on the Italians here. You got your data where you got it from, but there's no way we didn't pay money for Di Canio.
So. I'm gonna look up
and Carbone.
I'm gonna look up Di Canio because I thought we paid about 3 million quid. Have you been on it? Here, look what we got here. Where is it? Transfer Market.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's a page 2. Hold the line, caller. Gotcha Sedlowski's number 26, the guy who John Newsom told us he had one leg longer than the other, could only run in circles. But anyway, let's move on to the game this weekend. We've got Cheltenham. John, my apologies. Let's come to you first. How are you feeling about Cheltenham? Let's get some predictions in, kids.
Yeah, I'm obviously quite confident about bouncing back and being back at home and beating Cheltenham. They could be in for the backlash. I don't know if we hammer them last season, Cheltenham? I think it was quite convincing, wasn't it?
We beat them 4-1. Did they score? Is that Alfie May?
That's the one, yeah.
We beat them 4-1.
He's missing as well, isn't he, this weekend? So they're best players out. So I'm confident of beating them. I think there might be a bit of a backlash. I'm going to go 4-0.
But, Jesus, 4-0 from John. Simon?
2-0 Wednesday.
2-0 Wednesday from Simon. Stevie?
It's going to be horrible. It's going to be horrible. It's going to be less than 20,000 there because everybody's got tit on. There's going to be people moaning first time Bannon kicks it out of play. We're going to be moaning that we're not playing Might and Wilkes, fucking Gregory, Smith, Volk, all of them. Iorfa's going to be in its squad. People are going to moan about that.
You know. Darren Moore's broke.
Darren Moore's going to play.
People are going to be banging on about Reece James only being 5 foot nine. Ben Hennigan's got 50 pence head. Yeah. Now,
you have a time machine, right. Stevie. Is that
we'll be all right. I think comfortable win. We need to respond. We've got to respond in all seriousness. We have to have a response because these are the games now. If the tide is going to stay with us, having lost the last night, he's got to go out there and put in a performance, and we've got to go on a run now because we've got a comfortable sort of on paper, a comfortable couple of months coming up. We've got to go out there and put a statement out, and I think we need to start battering teams like this. 3-0.
3-0. And Blair?
Yeah, I mean, listen, with the highest goal scorers at home in 2022, I'm going on Saturday. So they better fucking score some goals. So, I'm saying 3-0 Wednesday.
3-0. I'm going to go for it. I think we'll concede. I'm going to go for another 4-1. I'm feeling bulletproof. Okay. So listen, Stevie, great game. On the day that I've just realised that we paid more money for Royce Wiggins than we did for Mikhail Antonio, thanks a lot for joining us on the Wednesday week. I'll see you next time. See you later.
The Wednesday Week is sponsored by Michael Constantine Wealth Management. We bet you can't find a financial advisor closer to Hillsborough Stadium.
It's the 90th minute. You've got all your mates round. You've got your McNugget share boxes coming down the left wing ready to go. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points back of the net. Le Bosch. Automate delivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com for more information. See you later.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.